Of this year, Amy Brown and Susan Moore, Todd Still, Missy, and I led a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. Not Waco. That's Bethlehem on the Brazos. We went to Israel, and we went to Nazareth and saw the Church of the Nativity. We were on a boat on the Sea of Galilee. We ate fish from that same water where James and John and Peter and Andrew spent their lives fishing. We made our way down and we walked the streets of Bethlehem and went to the Church of the Nativity. We were in Jerusalem at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. It is a pilgrimage. And unbeknownst to most of the people on that trip, every day that we were there, Amy was in real pain. I asked her one day how she was doing, and she said, "Well, I didn't search for flights last night to see if I had to go home." And I said, "Oh, I knew that this was a thing. I just didn't know it was that much of a thing." And she came to realize whatever this thing was that was in her, she was going to have to figure out what it was, and quickly. It won't surprise you to learn that she stayed the whole trip. She's just tough as old shoe leather. And so we made it through the trip, and we came back to Houston, and she got with doctors, and they did a biopsy, and they said, "We're pretty sure this is malignant." And so any number of times in the last 20 years, I have said to people, if you were anywhere else on planet Earth right now, you would be asking, how can I get to Houston, Texas? And how can I get to MD Anderson Cancer Hospital? And on April the 8th, they diagnosed Amy as having stage 4 early onset colon cancer. You can Google that later, but it's not good news. And I have to tell you, it's been a pretty brutal year. Chemo and major surgery and more chemo. And on Wednesday of this week, Amy rang the bell, which is to say she has finished her treatment. We're really happy for you. And we believe she's beaten her cancer. If she's wearing gloves because her hands are particularly cold even when it's not cold, and that's a lingering effect of the chemo. We're ready for it to go away. We held 80 degrees as long as we could for you. So other than that, that's the best news that I heard this week. Why am I telling you this story? Because the Bible says, and so we believe, that Jesus has come to give us life. That we are sin sick and we are in need of a Savior. And only Jesus can save us. The Bible says that for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. He sent Jesus to heal us. And so when we're physically sick, I say to people, wherever you are, you ought to come to Houston, Texas. When we're dealing with our spiritual illness, we say, wherever you are, you have got to get to Bethlehem. This morning, I want to think with you about the ways we get to Bethlehem. And to do that, we're going to hear together one of the most familiar texts in the Bible. It's the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke, beginning in the first verse. If you have a copy of the scripture, would you open it with us there to Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And there the scripture says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch o'er their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. But the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to those on whom his favor rests. And it came to pass that as the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying that was told them concerning this child, and all they who heard it wondered at the things told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it was told unto them. This is the word of the Lord. Seems like every year at the Sunday before Christmas, we are trying to figure out, how do we get to Bethlehem? That is, how does this saving, healing, redeeming, restoring, reclaiming, renewing good news of Jesus find its way to us? How do we get ourselves into this story that really happened at Bethlehem? Because Bethlehem is the place where God came to us through the birth of a baby. Bethlehem is a place of mystery and wonder, where angels fill the skies and where shepherds in the field abiding might be visited by them at any time. Bethlehem is a place that seems far away from the dailiness of our concern and wonder, peaceful and tranquil as there they are, father and mother, hovering over their newborn infant in the stable, in the straw. No crying he made while the cattle are lowing. The problem is that Bethlehem can seem so much like a fairy tale because it's so familiar to us that we don't think it has anything to do with the dailiness of the living of our days, of walking through our own lives. And yet this story calls us to see deeper and more truly what is happening in the world and what can happen to us than anything else in the world ever has. So how do we get to Bethlehem? Matthew says that the wise men got to Bethlehem by looking at the stars and the planets. That is, they were interpreting the signs in the skies, that there was a deep knowledge unavailable to the mass of humanity in which they had immersed themselves. Luke says the shepherds came because they had an angelic visitation. They were told to go. And Mary and Joseph came because they were just doing precisely what all of us are doing. They were living their lives every day and doing what they were supposed to do, and the government had a rule, so they went. There are lots of ways to get to Bethlehem, and not everybody goes the same way. Some people find their way through the route of scholarly inquiry. They devote their lives to what to everyone else seems like some kind of esoterica. Perhaps you know about C.S. Lewis, the most read Christian author of the 20th century, an Oxford Don. Lewis was a medievalist by training, and he was a proud agnostic. His mother died when he was a young child. His father was distant. He grew up in an abusive boarding school. He survived being a soldier in World War I, and he had seen enough of the world to think this is a painful place. But he had a friend, a devout Catholic named J.R.R. Tolkien, who kept telling his friend Lewis, Christianity is a true myth. A myth are these stories that we tell universally. There's something in our souls that hungers to hear them. And Tolkien said to Lewis, Christianity is like the myths you study in medieval literature. And it's true. It really happened. And something in Lewis connected the deep study of his life to the truth of the gospel, and he became, in his own words, the most reluctant convert in all of England. Some people come into Christian faith through a lifetime of scholarly inquiry. Now, the tropes about the atheist scientist are worn and old, but I know many a scientist who the longer and the deeper they study, the more they're convinced that there is an order and a beauty to the universe that is more than happenstance. I know many a literature professor who finds a resonance in stories that our hearts are hungry to hear, and in the scripture finds the convergence of not just a good story well told, but the truth of God in history in a good story well told. Some people find their way into Bethlehem by the deep inquiry of their minds. Some people find their way to Bethlehem through a dramatic spiritual experience that reframes everything else that they know in life. The shepherds were in their fields abiding, minding their own business, when the angels appeared in heaven and said, "Go to Bethlehem. A Savior was born to you this day. You'll find him wrapped up in the stable." Now, I don't know anybody who's had angels show up and speak that dramatically, but I know people who've had dramatic spiritual events. Missy's brother Wes was the Fellowship of Christian Athletes director at Ole Miss. And it was a long season. He was incredibly busy, and he had meeting after meeting after meeting. He just wasn't resting or sleeping. And he had a late night one night with the football team in Oxford, and he had to be early in Jackson the next day for a meeting. And he got in his car very early in the morning, and he was driving south on Interstate Highway 55, which is hypnotic in its sameness. And he fell asleep driving his car. And it veered off one of those high hills and just rolled down the hill. There was a highway patrolman coming the other direction, and he saw the whole thing happen, and he called not for an ambulance but for a hearse, because he just didn't think anybody could live through what he had just seen. Wes was wearing his seatbelt, the airbags deployed. He crawled out of the car and began to crawl up the embankment back to the road, and a nurse had been driving in the car behind him and pulled over, and she was there to tend him. That highway patrolman made his way down to the car, where Wes's Bible had been thrown out the window, and it was open to a page with a verse marked on it. And the verse said, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the sovereign Lord of hosts, plans for a future and a hope, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. And you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart." Y'all, that's as dramatic as it gets. The highway patrolman said to Wes, "I don't know what I think about faith, but I know this, God's trying to tell you something." Maybe it hasn't been that dramatic for you, but I'll bet if you look back over the course of your life, you will think about a time where you were at a hinge point to make an important decision, and just the right person came at just the right time to give you just the right word and nudge you in the right direction. That God has winked at you and called to you and evoked from you without taking away your freedom, but has given you an opportunity to see his purpose and his presence in your life. Some people come to Bethlehem, because they have a dramatic spiritual experience and it reframes everything else about the way they see the world. Some people come to Bethlehem because, to their great surprise, in the dailiness of living their lives, they discover that the Word of God matters to us. That its truth is so compelling and its Word is so strong that it reorients everything else about us. They turn to Luke's gospel and they read about the birth of Jesus and they see that the King of the universe was born in a stable stall and not a palace hall. They look at Jesus, who was the only child in the history of the world who ever got the privilege of choosing his own parents and the place of his own birth. And he came to an out-of-the-way province, to a poor couple who were only just married, to a place where no preparations had been made for his delivery. And for thousands of years, people reading that story have seen in those characters and that setting ourselves. We see that Jesus came into history in a way designed to clearly identify with the poor and the powerless and the homeless and the left behind and the left out. What we see is that Jesus came for all of those who are in need, and that's us. Whatever the path that you're going to follow to find your way to Bethlehem, the gospel invites you even this week to make your way there, to come to Bethlehem and to come with haste. Because when we come to Bethlehem, we're confronted by the truth that God is in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not counting our sins against us. We're confronted with the truth that the maker of all things is lying in a manger, helpless as a baby, because he loves us and he trusts us. We're confronted with the truth that the King of the universe has come for all of us only because he loves us. And that in his kingdom there is place aplenty for shepherds and outcasts and downcasts and those who've been left behind and those who've been left out. And there's hope for those who've been oppressed or distressed or depressed. And there is peace that passes understanding. And for those of us who really hear this message, who heed the call, and who make our way to Bethlehem, we discover there is a joy that transcends every circumstance in our lives, that God has come in Christ to give us life and to give it to us abundantly. Every time I'm working with a couple, planning their wedding with them, I give them this bit of advice. Two bits. The first is, you should take all your pictures before the service. I rarely win that. The second is this. Sometime in the week before your wedding, I want you to block a whole day on your calendar and don't deal with the mother of the bride and don't deal with any of the vendors and don't make any plans for the wedding. Go have a date day and just remind yourselves in the middle of all that stress, oh yeah, this is why we're doing this, because the rest of our lives could know this blessing. I wonder, in these 7 days between now and Christmas Day, how you might choose to block out some time to put your mind in Bethlehem. And to ask yourself this, if God so loved the whole world, if God so loved me so much that he sent Jesus, what blessing is there? What healing is there for me in Bethlehem? Well,